This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go with our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Alonzo, and you, and the show belongs to you. 844-FANFONE, 844-326-3663. That is the number to the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. I want you on that phone today. And BT Dubs, my dudes, you basically have this hour, and if you don't get in this hour, you will have to wait till 9 o'clock because we are clock locked and loaded during the 8 o'clock hour. We have Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have got Rashad Beard at 8:40 in the a.m. And because we like to go a little late with Lulu Kesson, a little early with Rashad Beard, that middle segment, very short segment. So that means the 8 o'clock hour is booked up. You want in on the phones? If you have a gripe about the college football playoffs, if there's a storyline in the National Football League that you would like to get to, if you would like to make fun of LeBron and the Lakers by losing by 41 last night. This team sucks now, which is odd because they had a real good start. And now they just, like, they don't even try. It's the most heartless, gutless team I've ever seen.
They're out of that midseason tournament, and they wanted to repeat, and now they just have nothing to play for. So they're going to have to find motivation, like maybe, you know, that trophy at the end of the maybe that. Also, by the way, I just want to point out, and this is very important for anyone listening right now who loves TSO, we're giving those tickets away again today. So
when, Lonzo?
I'm just saying, I believe 8:20.
8:20.
That's what I believe. 8:20. Yeah, I think that's what we're shooting for. That can change if I wanted to, but I'm trying to remember if that's where that break is. I'm pretty sure it's 8:20.
Tickets to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming up at 8:20 a.m. Make sure you are locked into the Rob Brown Show for your chance to go see an absolute rock and roll show.
People have been trying really hard, and I feel bad that we can't give it away to everybody. But, I mean, you know, phone lines lit up, and so just be ready around that time, and you don't necessarily have to be the fastest to get in there. You just got to be whatever number that I decide. And sorry, I mean,
your chance to win, baby.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a little over an hour. Make sure you were here. All right. I have got comments in the chat from Jacob, from another Jacob, from Frank, from Steven. I've got text on the text line at 71307. Start your text with FANFAN. FANFAM. We'll read them on the air. Keep them coming. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, in the next segment, I'm going to respond to all of them, okay? That's what we'll do. In the next segment, if you send me a text right now, it's 71307. If you send me a great text, if you touch us textually in a good way, you'll get the goal horn celly. So nope. Now's your opportunity. Nope. 71307, nope. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, or join us in the live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Fan Upstate on Facebook, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. All the different ways to get in touch with the radio program.
What's saying touch? I mean, that's been your word today. You want them to touch us textually? That's just like so ill, okay? I don't.
Reach out and touch me.
Okay. So you went with Depeche Mode and not the Divinyls, which is where I thought you might be going.
Anybody else When I think about text. All right, nope, stop right there. That wasn't right. That wasn't good. That wasn't okay. All right, it is just after 7 o'clock in the morning. You have less than 55 minutes until you got to get your sleepy butt up and into the office this a.m. And once you're done responding to those passive-aggressive texts that the boss sent you last night at like 11:15 expecting that you were going to pop onto the laptop and do some work, you weren't. We know it, and that's okay because you had to get up early and listen to the Rob Brown Show. You're going to talk about sports. And if you got to talk about sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, worry not. We are here for you because we do this.
Yes, I hesitated on purpose for timing.
I was going to do it, but, you know. Water Cooler GT top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this lovely upstate Thursday morning. Let us dive right in with item number one. Let's start with this one. A day after it was announced that Houston Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair was suspended 3 games for leveling Trevor Lawrence and giving him a concussion, that has been confirmed. It was confirmed because of the reason this is on the cheat sheet. Trevor Lawrence is done for the season. He has been sent to the injured reserve. No real shock there because the Jaguars are 2-10. Shockingly, I do not think that there is a playoff run comeback in the Jacksonville Jaguars at 2-10. Trevor Lawrence will miss at least 4 games. The Jags have only 5 games remaining, meaning that it's unlikely Trevor Lawrence comes back for just the season finale. It also means Lawrence could potentially have corrective surgery on his shoulder. Why? Because this is the 6th injury that Trevor Lawrence has suffered. That has been reported since week 6 of the 2023 season. He has also dealt with another concussion. He is on his 2nd shoulder injury. He has a knee injury and ankle injury. He has missed only 1 game last season. Did miss 2 games this season before being placed on injured reserve yesterday. Lawrence hurt his left shoulder at the first half of the Jags game on November 3rd against Philly, but did not miss a snap in that game. In fact, almost led the Jags to a comfort behind victory until throwing a pick with 1:38 remaining. Threw that pick in the end zone. By the way, he did miss the next 2 games, but returned to practice November 25th. Wanted to return to the field. Wasn't ruling out having surgery on his non-throwing shoulder in season, but decided that he was going to give it a go against the Texans. He was 4 of 10 for 41 yards and a pick before he got concussed with 4 minutes, 20 seconds remaining in the first half. And now that hit by Al-Shaair is going to end the 2024 season for Trevor Lawrence. And honestly, Probably for the best. The Jags were doing nothing. That offense stank. Trevor Lawrence is now going to go have the opportunity to have some extra rehab time, to get the surgery done that he needs done, to fully rehab, and to start next year with a new head coach, which it feels to me is desperately needed.
Injury prone?
It's a fair criticism at this point to make. 6 injuries in effectively 1 NFL season. Because it happened week 6. These things started racking up week 6 of last year. And it comes to its conclusion in week, 14 or 13 of the NFL season this year. So you were talking about a length of time that is just a little bit over a full NFL season. That he has had a half a dozen injuries that have impacted him so far. Now, not all of those injuries have caused him to miss time, but the two he's dealing with right now, the shoulder and the concussion, do. I would point out, though, that consistently the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line is ranked at the bottom of offensive lines across the NFL. I mean, consistently, they're at the bottom over the past 3 years. Consistently, that offensive line has been at the bottom of the NFL's offensive line rankings. And I think if there's one thing you can take away from guys like Jaden Daniels, guys like Bryce Young, guys like Baker Mayfield, when you stick them behind a good offensive line, those numbers come up. It's not saying that they're Pro Bowlers. It's not saying that they're Hall of Famers. It's saying that if you look at guys that, even if you're a critic of Trevor Lawrence, which is fair, even if you're a critic, I got to say Trevor Lawrence, there's no reason Trevor Lawrence can't do what Baker Mayfield's doing. There's no reason Trevor Lawrence can't do what Bryce Young's been doing the last 4 weeks. There's no reason that Trevor Lawrence can't do what Geno Smith is doing. But you got to put him behind an offensive line, and the Jags have failed to do that the last few seasons. I think that has got to be priority numero uno for the Jags this offseason. Find yourself a new coach. Find yourself a new general manager. Do nothing but draft offensive linemen. Trevor's got one more shot at making it in the NFL if they do those things. Let's get to item number two. Men's college basketball was a heater last night, an absolute wagon of a night. Let's start all the way at the top. The number one ranked Kansas Rock Chalk Jayhawk took an L last night at the hands of the 6-3 Creighton Blue Jays. The Jays held Kansas to 35.5% from the floor, 34.8%. They shot almost as good from range as they did from the field. On the flip side, the Jays shot 47.2% from the floor, 41.4% from three, going 12 of 29. They had 17 free throw efforts compared to, how about this, 8 free throws for the Kansas Jayhawks. 8. You know what that tells me? Tells me the Kansas Jayhawks are not attacking the rack. Tells me they're not going to the bucket and trying to pick up some fouls there. 8 free throw attempts. Kansas knocked down 5. Blue Jays hit 14 of 17. That was not the only big game that took place last night in college basketball. We had a top 10 showdown. One of 2 wins that the Atlantic Coast Conference stacked together in the ACC-SEC Challenge. The number 9 Duke Blue Devils at Cameron Indoor got the better of the Auburn Tigers, 84-78 was your final. 22 off of maybe the most compelling player in basketball this year, Cooper Flagg, but he was lined up against the guy that is likely this year's player of the year, Johnny Broome. Broome was 8 of 18 from the floor, had 20 points, outdueled by Cooper Flagg, who was 7 of 18, but 8 of 12 from the stripe, including 6 clutch free throws at the end of the second half that allowed Duke to maintain their league. Flagg also recorded 11 rebounds in this game. Here's the interesting thing. In just about every metric, Auburn actually outperformed the Blue Devils. They had more rebounds than Duke. They had more assist than Duke. They had the same amount of fouls. They had they did have more turnovers, and that was the game. Auburn was electric out of the gate, and then they just fell apart. Alabama got the better of North Carolina. That's number 10, knocking off number 20, 94-79. This Alabama team is built different, y'all. This Alabama team is a fight. They were my national championship pick last year, and they might be again this year. This team is different. 4 of 5 starters for the Crimson Tide ended up in double digits. The one starter who did not end up in double digits was Sharon Stevenson, who is a guy that's going to be checked in and out a lot of the rotation. He had just 6. But it was made up for by Aiden Holloway coming off the bench with 15. Darian Reed coming off the bench with 11. This Alabama team is an absolute wagon. One of the most electrifying offenses you have seen in a long time. They also held North Carolina to just 5 of 28 from behind the arc last night. A pretty spectacular showing for the Tide. Number 25, UConn knocked off number 15, Baylor, 76-72 last night. And the other big upset in the SEC-ACC Challenge, Mississippi State, unranked, knocked off number 18, Pitt. It's not just that they beat them. It's the fact they beat them by 33 points, 90-57 last night. The Pitt Panthers shot just 31% from the floor, whereas Mississippi State shot 58% from the floor. That's a stupid number. They also out-rebounded Pitt 49-27. That is embarrassing for the Pitt Panthers, who dropped to 7-2. There's some of your biggest basketball scores from last night. Let's very quickly get to item number 3. I told you back in the first hour of the show that I had a nice little revelation last night because, you know, I'd been kind of getting to the point where I was second-guessing myself a little bit on this brand versus resume controversy that's going around the landscape of college football. I started that war cry after Florida State got left out last year. And a bunch of you guys said, oh, Rob Brown, you're just a Florida boy. It was a little up in his fifis that a Florida team got knocked out. I said, no, it's not that. It's about the fact that precedent has been set that is going to allow the committee from this point forward evermore to bump out lesser teams in order to make room for the brands. And when I say the brands, I am talking about the fact that, according to Nielsen ratings, 70% of college football viewership over the last decade has been driven by about eight teams. Georgia's in that mix. Ohio State's in that mix. Alabama is in that mix. Now, as Lonzo pointed out, and this is absolutely justified and correct, it is because those teams are good. But I also make the argument that this is a circular reasoning, right? Yeah, those teams are good. But when those teams are good and they get more TV time, what does it do? It attracts more players to be there. It attracts better recruits. It attracts more money. And when you have better recruits and more money, what do? You stay good. And if you stay good, what do? You stay getting TV time. It is a vicious circle that is, I'm not going to say impossible to break into, but it feels impossible for anybody to break into long term. Well, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark, is now on the brand v. resume bandwagon as well. He was on a Zoom call yesterday ahead of the Big 12 championship game that sees a pair of 10-2 teams squaring off, the 15th-ranked Arizona State Sun Devils, the 16th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones. Well, Yormark was lamenting the fact that the two teams in the Big 12 championship game, are outside of the top 12 in the latest college football playoff rankings, are behind three SEC teams with three losses, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. Yormark said on a Zoom call, quote, "The selection committee continues to show time and time again that they are paying attention to logos versus resumes." He went on to say that strength of schedule should matter and wins against Power 4 opponents should matter. 74% of the Big 12 wins were against Power 4 opponents this season. Meanwhile, the Group of 5 is 11-80. In no way should a Group of 5 champion be ranked above our champions. Of course, the Boise State Blue Turf Broncos are inside the top 10. And if they were to win the Mountain West Conference Championship game against UNLV this weekend, a team that they have already beat on the road, if they were to beat the UNLV this weekend, Boise State would catch a bye. They would catch an auto bid. The ACC and the Big 12 would be fighting for number four. If SMU wins it, they'd get the bye. If Clemson wins it, they would likely not get the bye unless they jump the Big 12 champion by decimating SMU. I don't know how it's going to work out. That's why we're watching the games this weekend. But Brett Yormark, a conference commissioner, now saying he believes the committee is more about brands than results. We'll talk more about this when we come back in the next segment. You guys have sent a ton of texts and a ton of comments on the stream. I'm going to respond to those when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right. Got a bunch of texts. Got a bunch of stream comments. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Join our live stream. We are live all 4 hours every single day that we feel like it. So join us on the live stream, and we do have an active ongoing chat with other members of the Rob Brown Show Armada. So when you come by, it's not just watching the dashingly handsome faces of Rob and Lonzo, but you can actually interact and engage with other members of the Armada in the chat. You can ask questions that we will respond to both on and off the air. We also have the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone going, 844-326-3663, and our text line at 71307-71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. Let's respond to some of the text that you guys have sent in and some of the Facebook and stream comments you guys have sent in. Texter said, "Rob, rank my Bulldogs, cowards, Hail State." I like it. That's a great, that's not just a good win for Mississippi State. That is a great win.
All right.
For the Bulldogs.
You're just going to be handing these out willy-nilly?
No, that's not for the text. That's for the Hail State Bulldogs for the dub in general.
Okay, all right.
That's for the dub in general. You know what? We might have a we might have to have like a celly for the text and then a celly for things in sports. Nah. It needs to be exclusive. It does.
Yeah, it does.
Texas said, Rob, here's an idea. How about those bubble teams that aren't playing this weekend? Play a play-in game like the MLB. Ole Miss v. Bama, USC v. Miami. Aren't you just expanding the playoffs? Right? You're just expanding the playoffs. Which is why I think we are going to end up going to a 16-team playoff.
It would also diminish the championship games to a degree, wouldn't it?
I mean, again, yes. But I'm also going to say that if SMU loses this weekend and they're dropped behind Bama, doesn't that diminish the playoff or the championship game a little bit? I mean, like, I already feel like the playoff game, the conference championship games are diminished. I don't think anybody cares about winning a conference championship if they have to trade it for a playoff win. I think they would. I would trade a conference championship game win for a guaranteed ticket to the playoffs, right? Like, I know I would. I think Bama is happy to trade winning the SEC to be the last team in and get an opportunity to play. But we'll see. We'll see. Texter said, Rob, there's just no straws for South Carolina as an SMU loss gives their spot to Clemson and South Carolina can't jump Bama because of head-to-head. No, I'm aware of that. South Carolina is where they are because of head-to-head losses, not just to Bama, but to Ole Miss, to Lane Kiffin and his Rebels as well. The argument that I'm making is Clemson gives a spot to SMU in terms of the ACC being one of the five highest ranked conference champions. Remember, it's five highest ranked conference champions and it's seven next best highly ranked teams. My argument is that when Warren Manuel said yesterday, when asked, could SMU fall behind Bama? His answer was, yes, possibly, we'll see. Which is his way of saying, bleep, yeah, they can. Absolutely, they can. Well, if SMU can fall behind Bama, my argument is going to be they have to fall behind Ole Miss and South Carolina. Now, I am going to acknowledge that's probably not true. And it's probably not true because Miami got wedged in between Bama and Ole Miss in South Carolina. And this is why I asked the question yesterday. Yet one more reason. I asked the question yesterday, can someone give me a valid reason why Miami got behind Bama but ahead of Ole Miss in South Carolina? Because the whole premise of the argument about those three Southeastern Conference teams is how similar they are. Ole Miss and Bama both beat South Carolina heads up, but South Carolina has more ranked wins. They had a tougher strength of schedule. They have a better resume, and they had a better win than both of them combined to end the season. So it became a debate about body of work versus heads up wins. And the committee decided between those three teams that heads up win is the final criteria to separate them. Now, I can't argue with that. It's hard for me to say that a heads-up win should be dismissed. However, what I will say is you still got to explain why Miami got dropped ahead of Ole Miss in South Carolina but not Alabama. It doesn't make any sense to me, right? So perhaps they would drop SMU ahead of Miami, right behind Bama, and say, you lost your conference championship game, but we're going to put you in this spot because there's still a chance that you could fight your way in. If there ends up being two available at-large spots, then maybe there's a chance that you could end up in one of them. And that's your reward. I don't know. We'll see. But again, that is why I said South Carolina doesn't just need Clemson to win. They need Clemson to beat the brakes off of SMU. They need to beat them by 50 if they want a shot. Texter said, who potentially loses that allows a move up? SMU? Because if they lose, Clemson takes their place, so no one moves up. Yeah, Clemson does not take their place. This is the thing, I think, respectfully, this is, I think, a thing that people are missing. Five highest-ranked champions does not mean you are placed inside the top 12. Remember, you can be, and we will likely have this scenario, right? You can be ranked outside of the top 12, but be the fourth or fifth ranked conference champion and still be in the top 12. There is actually a way that, and it would require quite a bit of chaos around the college football landscape, but there actually is a way that the teams that receive the, or a team that receives the bye, the fourth highest ranked college football conference champion, is outside the top 12. You could have a team that is ranked 13 or 14 still get a bye. That's very possible. So Clemson beating SMU does not mean that Clemson jumps into the top 12. They could just move up to 15, right? The committee may go, we can't move them justifiably. We can't move them ahead of South Carolina because South Carolina literally not just beat them, but just beat them 7 days ago. Or in this case, next Tuesday, 10 days ago, whatever it is. But Clemson could move to 15, but still be in Clemson moves to 15, still be in the playoffs and catch the fourth bye or be the last team in at 12, right? It does not mean they are seeded that way. It's just the five highest conference champions, regardless of what their ranking is. That is why the last conference champion, that fifth ranked conference champion, there is a good chance that more often than not, they're the 12 seed. They're the last conference champion, but they are the 12 seed. Texter said, can you imagine the chaos if all lower seeds win conference championship games? Sounds fun. I can because Lonzo asked me that question yesterday and we actually drew out the bracket. The problem is we don't know what happens with SMU if they lose to Clemson. Do they stay around where they are? Do they drop down to 12 for a shot? Do they go ahead of Alabama at 11? Because where SMU lands shakes up the bottom anywhere from 2 to 3 seeds. So We did that yesterday. If you missed it, go to thefanupstate.com and pull up yesterday's fourth hour of the show because I actually wrote that bracket out. And again, you can get kind of far into it. You can figure out who the byes are. You can figure out who the 5, 6, and I think 7 seeds are. But 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 go up in the air because we don't know what the hell the committee's going to do. Texas said Clemson can't jump Georgia with a head-to-head. I don't think Clemson, if they win, gets anywhere close to 6. I think they, like, at best, they come up to, like, 12. The question mark is, can they jump South Carolina with a head-to-head? Because if they do jump South Carolina, then at that point, now we have an argument about, okay, well, then why can't South Carolina jump Ole Miss? Is a conference championship the decision-maker? All right, got a lot more text to get to, got a lot more comments in the stream. We will keep rolling through those when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Couple more texts and then we'll get to the stream comments. Lefty Tiger texted the show and said, are we sure Clemson is winning in on Saturday? Yes, they would be one of the 5 highest ranked champions. Now, would they get a bye or would they go in as the 11 or 12 seed? That we don't know. We don't know if a win in the ACC title game would allow them to jump the three loss SEC teams. Again, they lost head-to-head with South Carolina. You'd have to go a long way. And remember, South Carolina beat Clemson on the road. They only moved up one spot. South Carolina would have to move up like 6 spots to get ahead of those teams. Can you justify moving them up that high when you just said the inverse, South Carolina beating a ranked team, a number 12 team on the road, only moves them up one spot? Can you move? Doesn't matter. Clemson would be one of the top 5 ranked conference champions. And again, you could be, if you are the 5th ranked conference champion, the 5th highest ranked, and you're number 24, you're in the playoffs, right? Like, that's the rule. 5 conference champs, 5 highest ranked conference champs all go in. Doesn't matter what their rankings are. You're in. Now, the top 4 get a bye. The 5th does not get a bye. They become, and they go into one of those at-large spots. So, Clemson wins this game. They could go in as the number 4 seed with a bye if Boise State loses. That's on the table. Assuming that they jump, but there's also the chance the Big 12 ends up with that bye and Clemson's an at-large team. So we'll have to find out. But the answer is yes. If they win, they are in. Texter said, Clemson possibly getting in is a moot point. I'm not seeing a chance in hell they beat SMU. Thoughts? I think there's absolutely a chance. SMU is favored in this game. SMU is favored in this game by 2.5 points, unless that line has moved. And I'll go ahead and check on that. I doubt that it has. That's probably about the line that I would set it at. But SMU this week has been riding being favored by 2.5 points. And I will say that via my conversation with some folks over at the BetQL Network, the common belief right now is that even though SMU is the home team on paper, Clemson is being treated as the home team because Charlotte is so close to the upstate. It is expected that this is going to be, and the line is still 2.5. It is expected that this is going to be an audience that's like 70% plus Clemson fans. So if that is true, and let's say they're just getting 3 points, then it says that Vegas believes Clemson is actually slightly better than SMU. That SMU is a touchdown better than Clemson, but they're giving them the 3 points of home field advantage. I don't know if that's true or not, but yes, SMU can beat Clemson for sure. That's why I said this is going to be a hell of a football game. That's why I'm going to the game, to be honest
with you. So we talked about yesterday about SMU hasn't really beat anybody. Is Clemson anybody?
I mean, they're top 20 team in the country.
But are they?
Yeah.
Are they?
What do you mean, are they? They are literally number 17 in the country.
Now, I get that, but are they really competition compared to everybody else that SMU has played?
I don't think SMU has played anybody that is dramatically better. Their best win's Louisville. I don't think they've played anybody better than Clemson. I mean, now Louisville did beat Clemson, for the record, talking head-to-head. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. We've seen a lot of circle of sucks as far as head-to-heads go. So, yeah, but the reality is I don't think SMU's played anybody better than Clemson so far. All right, let's see. Lefty Tiger says, give us that 12 spot. Let's go get blown out by Georgia again, then turn the heat up on Dabo's seat. I mean, that is a possibility. Georgia could end up being the 5 seed. I don't think they will. I think if Georgia loses, scratch that. Georgia's either going to be a bye team or the 6 seed, because I don't think there is a result that sees Georgia jump your current 5 seed of Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's going to be the 5 seed. If Clemson goes in as 12, they're likely on the road at Notre Dame. My question mark is, if they get blown out, if Clemson gets blown out in the first round, whether it's by Notre Dame or Georgia, either way would be on the road, either in South Bend or in Athens. If they get blown out in the first round, does the hot seat crank up on Dabo? That's a fair question to ask. I don't know. Does making it to the playoffs carry the same weight in a 12-team playoff that making it to the playoffs carried in a 4-team playoff?
I think the murmur that started right after South Carolina beat them suddenly died down as soon as they made it into the ACC championship. I think it was starting to build.
I think it was too. I think certainly when you lost to Louisville, not just that you lost to Louisville, how you lost to Louisville. It was an ugly loss at the crib. And then you lost to South Carolina to end it, right? South Carolina's won 2 out of the last 3. Now, obviously, if you go out of the last 10, it's heavy advantage Clemson. What are they, 2-8 in the last 10?
But this is also the first time Clemson's been, and they backdoored in, but this is the first time they've been in the ACC championship in a while. So they've had losses every season like the Louisville loss.
It's a bad loss. And I do think that the question marks coming into this season were being asked and were being asked fairly, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I also have to point out, by the way, Clemson was in the ACC title game in, 2015 through 19, 2015 through 20. They were out of it in 21. They were back in it in 22. They were out of it last year because Louisville went. Remember, Florida State went last year, and they are back in it this year. They also won every one of those ACC title games.
All right, so I missed one in there.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's all good. But I think the point is, again, there were a lot of questions coming into this season about Dabo, and I still think there are, so that we're clear. And again, most of those center around NIL in the portal. Will Dabo be more involved this offseason? So far, it looks like the answer is no. But if he gets blown out in the opening round of the playoffs as a road team, Does that heat pick up a little bit? I think it's a fair question to ask. All right, some of the comments we've got on the stream. Lester chimed in and said, a play-in tournament is silly. Then you have to form a committee to figure out who the bubble teams are. I hate the NCAA basketball tournament has 68. Again, you don't need a play-in. You're going to 16. Guys, it's an inevitability. I wasn't, like, predicting that. I'm telling you it's a fact. This tournament is going to 16 teams. Why? Because it's more games. Because it's more TV. We're all going. Every one of us listening to this show is going to watch at least 80% of these games. Right? Like, is there any. I've already told the wife. Here are the dates. We have a Google Calendar that we share. So we can pop in like, okay, I got to, you know, here's my Swamp Rabbit schedule and I'm going to MC this event that day and I got a meeting with a client this time so that we can, you know, we're not scheduling stuff when the other person has some obligation. I've already got every playoff game in red on that calendar. I can't do anything those days. If they add another four teams to these playoffs, another two games to these playoffs, guess what, dudes? I'm watching all of those too. We're going to 16. There's no need for a play-in tournament. Lawn Tractor Life says, best sports talk morning show, Hart. You know who else says that about us? The South Carolina Broadcasters Association. They actually don't even say morning show. They just say best sports talk show.
Three times. We are the award of merit. We're runner-up as the best morning show in the entire state.
Yeah, we were.
We're going to win that next year, though.
Steven with the comment so large, Lonzo, that it covers our faces on the stream.
That's not.
Well, that's a novel, Steven.
Yeah, that's.
But you know what? Because I'm a good person, we're going to go through it. He says, me, and I quote, guys, the problem with the committee is twofold. They have rewarded teams like Penn State and Notre Dame for playing absolutely nobody, yet looking good while doing it, but USC gets no benefit because Bama squeaked out a two-point struggle win. It's crazy that Alabama needed to lose four games to be considered out this year. Imagine anyone else with a 9-3 record without a conference title or title game appearance in the playoffs. Stupid. Guys, Steven, specifically, like 70% of the college football talking heads out there were lobbying for South Carolina to get the spot Alabama has. I played a bunch of them yesterday. Todd McShay is doing it. Barrett Salih is doing it. Dan Patrick is doing it. Like a huge of respected. I'm not talking about hot take artists. I'm talking like a large swath of respected college football talking heads were lobbying for South Carolina to get that spot at 9-3 without a conference. I don't have an issue with 9-3 going in. This is why this is always going to be interesting. It's going to be a debate every year whether we're at 16 or 24 because it is a subjective selection process. There are going to be some people who say that an unblemished record, the closer you are to undefeated, the more you deserve it. There are going to be people who are going to say the number of losses technically doesn't matter depending on the body of work around those losses and who those losses are to. Losing a two-point game on the road at a now number 11-ranked Alabama is not a bad loss. It's a good loss. And what did you do? You won a bunch of other ranked games too. It's a subjective process. This is why, and I want to be very clear, if you've listened to the show, you have not heard me say, oh, South Carolina deserves that spot. I haven't said that once because it's irrelevant how I feel about it. This is a subjective thing. What I'm saying is I absolutely believe, and it should not be, but that your brand is a large part of the metric into whether you're in or not. That is why Bama got that. That is not why Bama got that spot. Bama got that spot because they got a win over South Carolina head-to-head, and they were more impressive in every way, shape, and form than Ole Miss was. That's why they got that spot. That's why I think they are in that position. Frank says the only thing that would happen is Clemson and SMU basically switch places. No one new is getting in. Loser is out. Not necessarily. I do think SMU could still get in with the loss if it's a good loss. And Clemson goes in. They do switch places with SMU, but it changes the seeding, and that's the interesting thing. All right, we got some more. We will get more of these comments later on in the show. We got Lulu Kessin coming up in the next segment. We got Rashad Beard at 840, and on the phone line, we got my dude Creed calling in right now to talk a little college football playoff. Creed, welcome back to the show, big fella. Good to have you.
You got so many good points, I don't even know where to start, but I I guess one of them, your good points is you are correct. Whether it's 2 years, 4 years, it's going to 16. That's just how it happened. That doesn't bother me. It bothers me, but that's a foregone conclusion. What bothers me is what happens 8 years from now or 7 years from now when it goes to 18 and they do have a play-in. That's what I really am dreading when they go to 18. 16, I don't like, but you're right. It's coming. There's no maybe. But
yeah,
I don't know
that we'll go to 18, Creed. I don't know. And here's why. I don't know how much benefit financially. At the end of the day, you got to put this into dollars and cents because the only thing that makes sense is making sense, right? Like, that's my slogan for college football.
It is the only thing.
The only thing that makes sense is making sense. We already don't pay attention to the play-in for the NCAA tournament, right? We don't pay. Most of us don't pay attention
to the tournament. 67 and 68. This will be 17 and 18.
No, keep in mind, those play-in spots are for five seats, right? Like, those at-large, they're for five seats. This isn't nobody's, right? These are bubble teams. And I do think there is, and I don't know where it is, Creed, it may be at 16, it may be at 18, it may be at 24. There is a line somewhere where the majority of common college football fans will not care if teams below this line get in because they're just not threats. I think that line this year is around number 16. Anybody below 16, not a real threat to win the college football national championship, so they're not going to tune into that. I don't know where that line is, but I don't think it's too far behind 16.
Yeah, and you're probably right that it won't care as much, but it does. And the other one is, and I don't care what anybody says, SMU loses, they're out because Alabama has to get in. And if Alabama and South Carolina had switched, South Carolina had done exactly what Alabama did. They beat Alabama. If Alabama had won the last six in a row, there is no doubt Alabama would still be in. That's a joke thing that they would, you know, they said head to head, we're going to put South Carolina in. It is all brand. It's not mostly brand. It is all brand. They'd have put them in.
I don't disagree with that at all, Creed. And I appreciate the phone call, big dog. Good to have you on the show. We got to run to the hard break. We got Lulu Kessin coming up to talk Gamecock football in the next segment. I don't disagree with that. For the record, I said that last year when they got in past Florida State. And all of you guys ran to the committee's defense. All of those guys, all of you, ran to... A few exceptions, you know who you are. But all of you ran to the committee. Oh, no, Rob, it's because Jordan Travis is down and Florida State's in the ACC. And you came up with all these reasons, and I tried to tell you then, but you didn't want to listen to me. I said, you know what you're doing? You're making it easier for the committee to shaft people down the line. That's what you're doing. They are setting the precedent for making a reason, an excuse, to put a team that did not do what Florida State did ahead of Florida State. I said it then. I'm saying it now. I said you are making it easier for the committee to screw somebody else. And here we are 1 year later, and it's a bunch of y'all. Now, again, I don't think, for the record, South Carolina doesn't even have the argument that Florida State has. Florida State didn't lose to anybody head-to-head. Florida State was 13-0. Florida State was not just a conference championship game participant, but a conference championship game victor last year. So Florida State last year had a stronger argument than South Carolina does this year. But a lot of y'all right now are saying Bama's in not because of the head-to-head victory, but because of the brand, because they cannot do it. That's what Creed just said, cannot have a playoff without the script A in the mix. That's why they are where they are. Well, if you believe that, then you should have been riding with me last year, and you weren't. And I was screaming about it then. I said, you should be raising hell right now so that when this happens to somebody in the future, you can raise hell then and it echoes. But you didn't. I was out there on an island by myself. And now I'm the one looking at all of you going, welcome. Welcome to the point I tried to make a year ago and you all told me I was an idiot. You all told me I was an idiot. And now it's you getting the shaft and now you got a problem with it.
It's not the same thing because South Carolina plays in the SEC. Florida State plays in the ACC, and the ACC has no respect.
Then don't have anything but an SEC championship and let everybody else do their own thing, but we're not going to do that.
Nah, I got to throw the Big Ten in there.
And annually we do this. No, you don't. Why? Why do I have to throw the Big Ten? Ohio State? Indiana? You making the – if I put up Indiana now, they lose to 8 out of the 14 teams.
I think last I checked, in the top 12, I think there are 6 SEC teams.
Wait, but that doesn't matter.
Five Big Ten teams.
Florida State was in the top 4 last year. You just said that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
so it doesn't. So the rankings don't matter. Well, All that matters is the eye test.
No, you missed the point. The ACC entries in there, they're just like they're placeholders. I mean, they're in there. They got a name in there, but they're not really.
I get what you're saying, and I understand.
You have poo-pooed the ACC just as much as anyone else.
Oh, for sure. The ACC is crap this year. I'm not arguing that. But it doesn't mean that teams that play in it can't individually be good. If anybody should be standing up for that, Lonzo, it's a Big Ten guy. If anybody should be standing up for it, it's a Big Ten guy. So, all right, we'll talk more about this.
Well, the whole thing's rigged, and Alabama's going to win it all from what you've been saying. So, I mean, they're getting in just so they can win the whole thing for the first time.
No. See, you, once again, you think this is about results. All it's about is driving TV rankings. And if somebody knocks off Alabama, they become the team that you have to watch the rest of the playoffs. The goal is just get them there. That's been my argument. Now, again, Bama beat South Carolina head-to-head. That's why South Carolina doesn't have the argument Florida State did. But the argument is out there, and I'm not making it. But Barris Alee is, and Todd McShay is, and Dan Patrick is. All these people are. All right, we got a bunch more text and stream comments you guys have left. We got Lulu Kesson coming up to talk Gamecock football. In the next segment, we got Rashad Beard at 8:40. We got Fight Club at 9:20. All that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show. That is after Lonzo shefties your ears with this sports flash.
Can't wait till you forget about that. The Duke Blue Devils knocked off the Auburn Tigers in a top 10 showdown at Cameron Indoor last night. Cooper Flagg led the Blue Devils with 22 points and 11 boards, and Isaiah Evans recorded 18 points off the bench. The number one men's basketball team in America was upset last night as the Creighton Blue Jays knocked off the Kansas Jayhawks 76-63. Kansas shot just 35% from the floor and 8-23 from deep, while Creighton shot 47% and 41% respectfully. Creighton also out-rebounded the Jayhawks 44-31. Number 10 Alabama knocked off number 20 North Carolina last night, 94-79. Alabama kept North Carolina to less than 18% from three and shot nearly 50% from the floor. Four or five Crimson Tide scorers scored in double digits. Tune in this Saturday at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Princeton Tigers. It's Furman versus Princeton right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, the Fan Upstate.